interesting comments there. Robbie Griffiths, head of the Trainers Association, has joined us. He's got runners today, hopefully winners today. And I want to have a chat to Robbie about the prize money increases, but it's probably pertinent to ask him about that off the back of those comments from Josh this morning. How are you, Robbie?
Good, thank you, Michael.
You were listening to Josh there. Does that change any of your opinion on Sandown or allay any of your fears, or is the trainers still united in what they think should happen with Sandown moving forward?
We might put that in the minutes that in June 2031 that we'll be still racing at Sandown.
Well, it was a 10-year period there. There's been a lot of discussion about what may or may not happen, and it seems to be becoming clearer that if Sandown did cease to exist, it wouldn't just be taking away Sandown. There may actually be the want to replace it with another venue somewhere else. Is that what your understanding could be?
Well, the trainers are naturally are fearful that that could happen because we want to keep Sandown. It's such a beautiful big track that we don't want it to go, and it's something that racing wants to keep naturally. It's a beautiful big track that gives every horse an opportunity. So we'd be sort of probably locking ourselves to the front gate saying, don't take this away, you know. But and on the flip side of that, if it was something that, Josh is talking about there that might be on the cards one day for development or did look fearful that it might go and leave the industry and replace somewhere else, you would think that, you know, there could be solutions like other types of developments that we hear and see in our life. You know, like you look at residential developments with golf courses and so on, and why couldn't you come up with a solution like that where that possibly the racetrack stays and sort of developments go around and where you could use the land around it? All those type of solutions could be possible where we could keep our track and, you know, come up with a blend of solutions like that, you know. But anyway, the trainers want to keep it, and rightly so, because it's a beautiful track. So at least at least Josh has sort of hopefully given us some security there that it's at least there to stay for a minimum of 10 years before any discussions of losing it is on the table.
We're going to have a lot more discussions if it's a 10-year debate. Hey, what was the Trainers Association's viewpoint of the announcements yesterday across the board?
Oh, look, I think it's fantastic. I mean, our association, has done a lot of work on that by Andrew Nicol, our CEO, in conjunction with TROA and all the PRAs and Racing Victoria and governing bodies that have got together and worked collectively as a group. And I think they've had a very good outcome to disperse the prize money across all sectors. You know, we've tried to, go across all groups. And I think the template that, you know, racing.com put across on the digital platforms there to show everyone how much prize money has changed from 2014 through to 2021-22 season, to see how sustainability has been a key point across the maidens, you know, through to the current increase of how much sustainability has been a key factor to how maiden racing and lower tier racing is a key point, and how it's also across the racing for excellence as well. So every sector of racing is being thought about so that we can reward horses breaking their maiden, so that way that key word sustainability is looked upon, and that way racing participation is encouraged so that Victorian racing continues to flourish. And that's without all the extra trimmings of super bonus and all the bonus schemes, which our bonus scheme in Victoria is probably the best in Australia because there's so many tiers of extra revenue for the ownership groups. And then you look at our prize money now of $130,000in metro meetings, and the way it's dispersed and broken down across the board is percentage-wise the best in Australia. And then you look at the Group 1 racing of at the $750,000. So it also rewards excellence, so you can strive for that as well. So I think it's a very fair distribution that rewards all categories and also, creates sustainability at the lower end. So I think it's been a very, very fair and really good outcome, and I think it's something that's fantastic for Victorian racing.
there have been some trainers and participants saying that they're still not satisfied with the prize money for maidens and the lowest scale. What do you say to that?
Oh, I think it's always difficult at the lower end because there's so many races in that category, you know. And I think that, you know, in any distribution at the lower end, you know, there's always want for more and more and more. But with the volume of races in the maiden levels and the 58s and the 64s and so on, there's always a lot more of them versus the higher end. You know, naturally there's a lot less Group 1 races than what there is maiden races. Just, I know that's an extreme statement, but it's always a lot easier to put a little bit more on less races than there is on a big volume of races. And if you count up the volume of maiden races and you put a little bit on them, it doesn't look like there's much going on them. But when you collectively add up all of those races, it adds up to a lot of money, you know. So, but that's why I think that template was very good on the racing.com, because when you look at the percentage, how much it's gone up, you know, over a period of time, you can really see how much contribution has gone into the lower end racing for sustainability over a period of time versus the top end. So I think that, you know, I think that the governing bodies and the PRAs and TRAA and ATA collectively as a group have tried to spread everything across the board to be fair on all categories. I mean, the wish list is always greater than the volume of money you have. That's always the case every time there's a distribution. So you can never probably reward everyone's wish list. So you try to break it up as fair as possible. And I think that in this case, you know, and competing with all the states around Australia, you've got to take that into consideration as well. I think that collectively the group have done a fantastic job.
I don't think anyone can argue. It's hard to argue with a 60% prize money increase over the last 5 or 6 years here in Victorian racing. And you'll be trying to win a little bit of that share in prize money today at Pakenham. You've got a pretty big team heading to the Pakenham Synthetic today.
Yeah, we're trying to get some money into financial year, Michael, to see what we can do. But, yeah, well, we've, you know, some of the horses that aren't overly good on the turf, we're heading towards the synthetic and see how we go. So we'll do our best.
I'll quickly whip through them for the punters. Diamonds and Jewels goes around in the first. What are you expecting today?
Well, she's been off the scene a long time. She blew out a bit first up, running four. She got held up in traffic at Ballarat. She's drawn all for the day, which is a little challenge for Ben Allen. But realistically, third up, she gets her opportunity to run her best of the three runs in. Tongue-tie first time or back on will help her. So I'd like to think that she'd be somewhere in the mix. Just needs a little luck from that draw.
All right, Barclays Bank, a $9 chance. Not too far away on debut in race two?
No, he was good on debut, and being his first start, he'll improve with that experience and the fitness. Was a little wide on the corner, a little bit of a tricky gate, but Alana's riding well with a 1.5 kilo claim, and that experience is certainly in the mix, definitely.
Got a couple of, a roughie in race number three in Star Mania. He gets a run, and then Bench Press is named after your workouts of a morning, no doubt, down there at Cranbourne. It's about an $18 chance.
Yeah, I'm in shape, rounds of shape, they say, but he was a bit unlucky on debut. Over 1,200, jumping to the mile will help him. He's probably a little bit behind some of the others in form, but be no surprise to see him sneak into the placings.
And you've got Hard Squeeze, another each-way chance around about $10. And in race number seven, Robe de Fate's a $12 chance. And Turak Warrior in race eight is a $12 chance as well. So all each-way plays today. Who are you most confident with?
Like Barclays Bank and Hard Squeeze to play. They're probably the best two, I think.
Excellent. Robbie, appreciate your time this morning. Best of luck today.
Thanks, Michael.
Robbie Griffiths.